بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Man has a natural tendency towards the good things of life, whether it is wealth, whether it is comfort, whether it is woman, in the old days horses, and nowadays smart cars. In the old days it was farms, and now it's factories, industries, money institutions. So it is natural for man to be inclined towards these things. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ. So this is your nature. But then this is also your trial. It's your nature and it is your trial as well. Like when you feel thirsty, then it is natural to desire for water, right? It is not unnatural to desire for water. You feel hungry, it is natural to eat. It is not unnatural to eat and to desire for food. It's not unnatural. It's a hot day, you want some shade or a place that is air conditioned. Now that is natural. So to crave for some comfort is not unnatural. But by the same token, this is your exam, this is your trial, this is the imtihan that you have been put into. On the one side, it is told to you that don't run after these things. Then this is in your nature, it's within your nature. Now how do you reconcile the both? Number one. And number two is, why has this been put into your nature? When you are asked to abstain, then why is it instilled into your nature? So there could be several reasons why this is put into man's nature. Right? It is in your nature, but then you are asked to stay away, keep away from it. So the reasons can be multiple. One reason, simple reason, is that if these things were not were not placed before you, then you would not be able to appreciate the akhirat. If you had no inclination towards these things here, and Allah Ta'ala speaks about these things, that in Jannat we have got women, Jannat we have got homes built of gold and silver, in Jannat we have got all the other temptations. So if Allah Ta'ala had only spoken about this and you did not know, did not understand and did not appreciate these things here, would there be any temptation in your heart? Like it's a small child, underage, and you talk about girls in his presence. So there is no appeal in his heart. He doesn't know what it is like. There's absolutely no appeal. Right? So that appeal had to be in your heart for you to be able to understand the favors and the comforts of Jannat. I often repeat the story. My late uncle, may Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with Noor, once he was relating a story to us. In Germany, one peasant taking an informal job, how you take an informal job, an unregular job. So he had played some type of lottery. Now the job that he is doing, he's getting paid 30-40 rands. That was a struggle also. You will get that 30 rand or that 40 rand for the day. Now he's taken up the job like this. and he's played the lottery. And it was his luck that his name appeared. When his name appeared, now he's won and he's eligible to £100 million. £100 million, that's what he's eligible to. Now, those people that are running the lottery, they're thinking to themselves, okay, how do we break the news to this man here? He's earning only 20 rands or 20 pounds or 15 pounds, and one shot now he's got £100 million. Will he be able to handle this information? So they're still trying to work it out, how will they filter the information to him. So in the meanwhile, one person suggested what we should do is he goes to that Sunday service and he'll meet up with the pastor there, obviously. The Sunday service, they have to, after the service is over, they have to make mulaqat, make confessions and all that. So he'll have to go for all that. So we'll ask the pastor to do this much, that he must break down the news to him. So the pastor will, in some way, in appropriate way, he will filter the news to him, dilute it, make it light, so that it's manageable for him to absorb that news. So anyway, like how they had understood it, they passed the information to the pastor. This person had to come for the Sunday service. At the Sunday service, the pastor congratulated him, "Oh, you played the lottery." Yeah, I played the lottery. And say, for example, if you won then, and you won so much, you know, £100 million, then what? Then what? Say this, for example, God willed it and it happened. The pastor had to add his 2 pence, you know, I made dua for you. And as a result of my dua, you won the lottery and there were £100 million came your way. Then what? So there's a peasant, poor little person, village mentality, little understanding. So well then, half is yours. When he said half is yours, the pastor got a heart attack. He died. Pastor died. 50 million, he's thinking of 50 million going to come to me one shot. He died. So what I'm getting at is, Jannat is too great a thing. When we can't resist the temptation of this world, how will we be able to resist the temptation of the hereafter? Small little dirty, filthy, loose woman all moving around and we can't resist. Whereas if we compare them to what Allah Ta'ala has got in Jannat, it's nothing but dirt. The litter of the streets, women that are running around, they are like the litter of the streets, and we can't resist. Our eyes, we can't resist. Our ears, we can't resist. And then we say, no, me, I only work for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, nothing else. Nothing else. I don't want Jannat, I don't want all these things, I just want Allah Pak only. Simple thing, I ask you, you can't resist the small little temptations. How are you going to resist Jannat? See? One person came to us, Tami Sahib Rahmatullahi. He's acting like a great Sufi. Me, I only work for Allah Ta'ala. I'm not worried about Jannat, about the pleasures, about the hoors and the castles in Jannat. Nothing. I'm not concerned about anything. It's only Allah Ta'ala. Like how Rabia Basriya Rahmatullahi Alayha, she said, people that are worshipping Allah Ta'ala for Jannat, then I've got this fire to burn out Jannat. I've got this fire to burn the Jannat out. Because they're worshipping Allah Ta'ala, they're not worshipping Him for His love. They're worshipping Him for Jannat. So I've got this fire here to burn it out. And I've got this water here, or I've got this fire to burn Jannat out, and I've got this water to put off the fire of Jahannam. People are worshipping Allah Ta'ala, why? Because of the fear of Jahannam. So, I'm going to extinguish this Jahannam, and I'm going to burn out this Jannat. That people may learn to worship Allah Ta'ala only because of Allah Ta'ala Himself, not because of anything else. Now, some people are in that level, that spiritual state, right? If they are in that spiritual state, then they are an exception to the rule. But that exception can't become a common law. It can't become a common law. like one person is in love with a woman now, for example, right? So when he marries that woman, then he tells her, see, I'm not marrying you for your wealth, I'm not marrying you for your family, I'm not marrying you for the town that you come from, so that I may get an American passport or I may get a British passport. I'm not marrying you for anything. I'm only marrying you for yourself. Right? So if he's at that level, if he's at that level of love, he's so absorbed in love, then you will say, all right, no problem. But most of the cases, it's not like that. It is for some perks, where we involve in a love triangle, then that love triangle is because of some perks. If that perks had to go away, then that love also collapses. So anyway, what I'm trying to get at, is this person came and made this type of claim to Hazrat Mawlana Thani Sahib Rahmatullahi, and then when he finished made his claims, and then as he's leaving, he says, Mawlana, I need 10 rands. Mawlana gave him the 10 rands, and then Mawlana asks him, but you couldn't resist the 10 rand, how can you resist Jannat? You couldn't make sabr from this 10 rand, you have to come and ask me for that. How are you going to resist the temptations of Jannat? So, a man must understand the level that he is at. He can't speak above the level. Every person must speak from his level. Understand your level and you work accordingly. If you work beyond your level, it's a problem. I think now I'm so great and I'm like this and I must get this and whatever. Because you didn't understand the level that you are in. So you at that certain level, at an entry level, at a primary level, then just remain like that. Now that grade one person, he wants to know, hey, that person in matric, he's enjoying this and he's talking about this, whatever else. Why can't I do it? Now, it's difficult to make the child understand. See, most of us at that entry level, they want to know about big things, mushahada and all that. Now that's at a very high level, very, very high level. It's far beyond our reach. Very far beyond our reach. We're not even supposed to be discussing these things here. We just do things at the entry level. Akhlaq and all, get that right. Simple things. Get that right. And as we move on, we will automatically, we will progress. Right? Like the one that is 4 or 5 years of age, right? He wants to become a father now. What are you trying to buy? You just carry on like this now. You just eat nice food and all that, we'll show you, and you carry on, one day you'll become a father, inshallah. You can't give him all the nitty-gritty explanations, or you can't give it to him at that moment. Because he's too small for all that. They say that a camel had befriended a mouse. See, a camel had befriended a mouse. Oh, now they should go for strolls. They go and take a nice walk, go for picnics and walks and everywhere. So one day they thought of going for a stroll on the beach side, you see. So both now, the camel is one side and the mouse is one side. They were strolling, they're talking about granny stories and whatever, and they're moving. So it's a nice hot day, and the camel is cooling itself with the beach water. It's walking right on the shore, and it's walking a little bit like knee deep or something into the water to cool itself, to relax. So the camel is telling the mouse, see, I'm relaxed, man. So cool, and I'm moving away, I'm chilling down. You also come like this, you know, you'll cool yourself, you'll relax. So the mouse says to the, hey, that water is too deep, man. So the camel is only knee deep. It's only knee deep. What's the big deal about this whole thing? So the mouse says, yes, it's your knee deep. Me, it's my mouth. If I try to imitate you, then it's my death. Then I must work according to my capacity. You will work according to your capacity. See, you are at your level and me at my level. Now I try and become anxious about the level that you are at. Then it's problems for me. Hey, I'm thinking, oh, pining, why is it not happening? Why is it not happening? So work at the level that you are, and that camel will work at the level that it is at. So anyway, we're getting at this. Okay. Allah Ta'ala has placed these temptations within us. We see a pastry, then we are tempted for that pastry. We see some other goodies, then we are tempted, right? We are tempted to all these things here. We can't say that we aren't tempted. We are tempted. We are all human. See a nice jacket, someone is tempted. Someone sees a nice car, 4x4, whatever else. Then you are tempted. Something or the other, everything will tempt. Everything will tempt you, right? Right. So now, what is the real reason why Allah Ta'ala has placed us in this type of an examination hall, in an examination rule? One explanation I gave, so that you'll be able to appreciate the temptations of the hereafter. Allah Pak is saying, Ala sururim mawduna muttaki'ina alaiha mutaqabilin yatufu alaihim wildanum mukhalladun bi akwabim wa abarik. Thrones on high, and then you're wearing silken clothing, and then streams running before you, and young boys serving you with perpetual freshness and youth, and then girls are all around you, young girls like hidden pearls they are. Now, this whole description Allah Pak is giving, why is he giving this description? That you have a crave towards it. When you desire for these things, then you'll work towards the hereafter. But you don't have that desire, you don't have an urge, an inclination, you won't be able to appreciate. Once, Padmaw Thangi Sahib Rahmatullah says, he said, I was overcome by fear. In that state where I was overcome by fear, when I was studying at that time, as I was 16, 17 years of age, and then we hear about Jahannam, and then we become overawed with fear. So we came across that hadith, which says that Jannat and Jahannam will not be filled, you know, on the day of Qiyamah, it's not yet filled. So Jahannam will also complain that I'm not filled, I need some more, halmi mazid, I need some more to fill myself up. So Allah Ta'ala will place his foot onto Jahannam, and Jahannam will say, Qat, bas now, I can't manage anything more now. But when Jannat complains, and Jannat says that I cannot manage any longer, then Allah Ta'ala will create another creation for Jannat. Right? The system for Jahannam is different, and the system for Jannat is different. Both systems are different to each other. So Mawlana asked, Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, Rahmatullah, when he was overcome in that state of fear, had Allah Ta'ala only created us from that creation, you know, who will be just sending to Jannat, when Jannat will complain that I have a capacity and I don't have people yet. So Allah Ta'ala will create a people to fill Jannat up. So he's expressing his desire to Mawlana, his Ustad, okay, had we been that creation, that we could have been just created and sent direct to Jannat, you know. So we would have saved all these trials, all these examinations, and put straight into Jannat, one shot, one go, we should be in Jannat. So his Ustad explained to him, Unko kya Jannat ka maza aayega, khak maza aayega. Where will they be able to appreciate Jannat? Because these people that were just created and sent to Jannat straight, right? They were created and sent to Jannat straight without going through all the trials in this world. Like in this world, so many trials, difficulties upon difficulties. Someone is swearing you, someone is abusing you, someone is insulting you. You're going through trials for your business. You're going through trials for your deen. You're going through abuse and insults. You are a married man and so much of difficulties coming on your way. In your business life, so much of difficulty coming in your way. In your domestic life, difficulties come your way. As you age up, and then you get difficulties. At every phase of your life, some difficulty upon difficulty. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. From your very birth, from the very inception, there is difficulty. From the birth, there's difficulty, there's pains, there's sleepless nights. And as you grow, then school, then madrasa, then late nights, then friends and peer pressure. So much of difficulties you have. Now, after all that difficulty, then eventually you come to Jannat. Now, won't you appreciate Jannat? You'll appreciate it. But if there was no such a thing like difficulty, would you appreciate Jannat? If every day you're eating biryani, you would appreciate the biryani. You don't know. But once in a blue moon you're eating it, so you appreciate it. So, Mawlana Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah explained to his student, Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that inku Jannat ka kya khak maza aayega? What enjoyment will they have of Jannat? Because they didn't go through any difficulty. They were straight, posted, born straight to Jannat. So no difficulty. So they won't have that. But those people, they went through all these trials and difficulties and problems, then they will really appreciate the Jannat. That is why one is the hoors of Jannat and one is our respected wives, right? So our respected wives, their positions will be far greater than the hoors. Will be far greater. They will be like queens. They will be like the queens of Jannat. Now sometimes women, then out of their jealousy and out of their self-pride, they say, yeah, yeah. These hoors will be like makotis them. We'll be the real boss there, see. They have got that pride, you know, that self-pride about themselves. See, yeah, they'll be like makotis, like all maids and all that. We'll be the real queens. Be it as it may, they will be of a different level. Because the hoors, they didn't go through all the difficulty and pain. They were just born and straight posted into Jannat, right? And our wives, apart from the difficulties of their own personal lives, how much of difficulties they had to take on because of us? How much of problems we gave them? All the difficulties they had born, they had gone through, and then posted to Jannat eventually. So their position and their maqam will be of a different level. They will be the queens. These are all the others. They will be also the inhabitants of Jannat, but not enjoying that level as our respected wives. People come up with some very strange desires. Someone say, my wife lost her husband, so I am the second husband. But now, I can't see her separated from me, even in Jannat. Now, who is that wife going to go to? To me or to the first husband? Is she going to go to me or to the first husband? So I give an answer, but nowadays what I answer now, Simbai, first you go and confirm your booking in Jannat first. You haven't confirmed your booking in Jannat, and you already think, I'm already there now, and my wife, why she didn't come and all. But you go and confirm your booking in Jannat first. You don't know whether you're going to Jahannam or you're going to Jannat, or if you're going to Jannat after 50,000 years, you're going to Jannat. You don't know about that. You don't even know about that, and you're thinking so high. I got my place already confirmed in Jannat. Bookings are already done. I just have to reach there. That's all. It's not so easy. Allah, inna sil'atallahi ghaliya. This commodity Allah Pak is selling is not a cheap commodity. He's selling you Jannat. This commodity he's selling is an expensive commodity. You think he's going to get it over the on the plate? You're going to get it. No, you're going to work for it. So anyway, we're getting at this, that Allah Ta'ala has made mankind like that. You have a crave, you have an inclination, you have a natural like towards the temptations. All of us have a like for the temptations. So why are we created with these temptations? So this is one reason that I have given. Right. The other reason that Allah Ta'ala has created mankind like this is it's a trial of love. It's a trial of loyalty and love. You're going to be confronted with a situation, right? On one side, it's my love. It's once the other side, it's the love of that thing, right? So it's going to be a test. It's going to be a trial, and the trial is going to be of love and loyalty, right? So, which side are you going to turn? It's a test of loyalty. Where's your loyalty? Where your loyalty lies? Sometimes it is between me and your wife. Sometimes it's going to be between me and your wealth. Sometimes it's going to be between me and your children. Sometimes it's going to be between me and your properties and investments. So I want to see where your loyalty lies. Your loyalty lies with me or with your children, with me or with your wife, with me or with your wealth, with me or with your business. So where does your loyalty lie? These things are going to come out all the time. Right? There's going to be situations that are going to be coming out all the time. Right? And an offer is thrown to you now that you can open up a bottle store here at a prime spot, and you're going to turn so much of money. You know, you're looking at the figures, mind-boggling figures. You know, for a month I can make 5 million. I just have to open up a bottle store here, and in a year time I'll hit it. Man. You know, I'll be running away. I'll be running away in 1 year's time, just counting the figures. And I don't have to do all the working. They will set the whole thing up, but because it's a prime spot, I'll be just running away. So on the one side, your mind is working on the figures. Then you are thinking, but is this in keeping with the loyalty of Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala, will He be happy? Is the loyalty of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala greater, or the loyalty towards money greater? What is it? Now you have, in this day and time, you have three groups. One is that will say that, hey, my loyalty with Allah Ta'ala is greater, straight. Second will say, hey, I'm not of that level here, I'm doing all haram, everything mixed up. And in this age, you have a third group, say, let's try and squeeze a halal. Let's try and squeeze something halal. Make it permissible. So you get this third group today. Before it wasn't so much, maybe they were in the past also, but now it's becoming even more prominent, where somehow or the other, let's try and make it halal. Let's make it permissible. Palan Haqqani, he gave some insolence like this, you see. He says, in the old days, free range chicken, what we call Zulu chicken, right? Free range chicken. In the old days, there wasn't a thing like rainbow. This rainbow thing and all that just came around about 50 years. Before that, it was only free range. So, that free-range chicken was a novelty. Once in 7 months, 8 months, you'll have a chicken as a meal. So that was a real novelty in that zamana. Once in a month, once in 2 months, you will eat. Because you hardly see meat, and then chicken is a delicacy. You know, and then to have that, really it's a delicacy. So one man in the town, somehow one nice fat rooster, pulled in his yard, somehow he caught the thing there. He came across the masla, you know, it's a lukta now. Lukta, you have to go and announce it. Lukta has lost property, you have to announce it. If you don't announce it, then it is haram for you to eat it. So he must announce the thing. And if you didn't find the owner, then after a day, 2 days after you have announced it properly, then you can eat it yourself if you are deserving. Alright. So how to work out a permissibility is to squeeze out a permissibility. So he went to the marketplace where they sell roosters, fowls, everything. So he went there. Big bazaar now. So he got the rooster up like this. He says, this fowl, this rooster, yeburra. What is that? And he put it down and softly says, kiska. Who does it belong to? So for 1-2 days he did that. Ye murgha. So he appeased himself, you know, no owner now. Now it's halal for me. Now I can eat of this, you see. So this is that age we are going through, where we try to halalize, legitimize anything and everything to legitimize. One woman came to some Imam Sahib. So she tells that Imam Sahib, you know, I vowed that if my child would have become, he's going to recover from his illness, you know, from his illness he recovers, then on a Jummah, then I will get the Imam Sahib to play the tabla on the mimbar. I'll get the Imam Sahib to play the tabla, what do you call it, drums, tambourines. I'll get the Imam to play the tambourine on the mimbar. So Imam Sahib said, all right, we'll work it out, just you must see me right. See me right, because it's an additional duty now. For the additional duty, you must see me right. All right, the deal was done. You'll get 100 for that. Now, 100, that zamana is like a 4 months salary. So, saw him right. So the Imam Sahib, on the Jummah now, he's ascended the minbar. He says, Khabiso, you stupid people, you're playing drums. You know it's haram. And the drum to play this way is also haram. And that way also to play is haram. See. So this squeezing out of permissibility, anybody can do it. Everybody can do it. Squeezing out. Somehow or other, squeeze the thing and make it halal. Halalize, legitimize. Everybody is doing it Anybody and everybody is doing it. So this is not loyalty. It's not loyalty. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like people get married now, right? And after they get married, then the wife discovers that he has another wife as well. So the wife feels betrayed. Although he's got the right to marry the second wife, right? He's got the right to marry without informing. But if he carries on and he conducts himself in such a way as though he doesn't have another wife, you know, then it's like a misleading. Then he carries on and conducts himself, oh, you're the only one, and you know, all my love is for you. I haven't seen a woman like you. You know, you're the only one. All my love is for you. And then the day he got married, then she discovers now, okay, he got another wife. See, now she feels misled. Why didn't he tell me from the very beginning? Then I knew how to set my mind. I could have corrected myself. But now he's taken me in this direction, and thereafter he discloses that he's got another wife. So she feels that down. Had he just told you from the very beginning, okay, this is my life, I have got a wife, and you coming in as a second wife, then I would have been able to take it, whether I accept it or reject it, I could be in a stronger position. But the way he conducted himself, he misled me, see. So, this test of loyalty, see. And the test of loyalty is going to come all the time. Now you in the midst of friends. And whilst you're in the midst of friends, joking and everybody is talking very well. Now, someone starts off ghibat. Someone starts backbiting. So now the test of loyalty is going to come now again. That where your loyalties lie, with Allah Ta'ala or with your friends? Is it with Allah Ta'ala or with your friends? Because your friends are saying do something. And Allah Ta'ala's hukam is saying no, don't do it. So where does your loyalty lie? Where your loyalties lie? Loyalty is with Allah Ta'ala or with your friends? When this Maududi movement had started off, so Musab Rahmatullah had mentioned one statement. They used to call themselves Jamaat-e-Islami. So Hazrat had explained that there's two concepts, there's two ways to see a thing. One way to see a thing is, I'm an Islamic group. I'm an Islamic Jamaat, right? So, Islamic interests are foremost. You're keeping Islamic interest all before you. That what is the interest of Islam? In the interest of Islam, I will do, I will not do. In the interest of Islam, I will do, I will not do. Why? Because Islam is the foremost thing. Right? The group and the Jamaat that I belong to, that's secondary. What is primary? Primary is Islam. Islamic interests, where do they lie? And then you have another group. Like this Jamaat-e-Islami Maududi you have. So they look at things differently. They look at the Jamaat interest first, thereafter Islam. That this is what our group says. But Islam says something else. Now how can we just work it out? How can we just reconcile? You know? Because our group, I can't break away from the group. I invested so much with the group, so long I am with them, enjoying so much with them. And they are saying something now. Now how can I just water this down and reconcile it with our group so that I don't break away, and also outwardly it doesn't appear that I've broken away from the deen. See? So now that to be working like that is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous, because the primary thing has become now the group, the Jamaat, the organization. One is what the organization is saying, and one is what your heart is saying. One is what your iman is saying. Your iman is saying something else. Your heart is saying something else. And your organization is saying something else. Now at that time, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep the organization in front, or are you going to keep Islam in front? Who are you going to give a preference to? Who your loyalties lie to? Your loyalties lie with the Jamaat, or does your loyalty lie with Islam? Does the loyalty lie with the Jamaat and with the organization, or does the loyalty lie with Islam? Where does it lie? So that's a very dangerous thing. Now, for example, say one Jamaat, one group, one organization, and they are in favor of television, for example, right? And your heart says, no, it's not right. Istafti qalbak. Your heart says it's not right. So, when your heart says it's not right, then is that the right thing now to give an explanation for that group and try and reconcile and work with them? Now, obviously, your heart says it's not right, but somehow now you watered that thing down, and after you watered it down, and then you reconciled with that group, as though you say, oh, in the circumstance now it is permissible, finish. But your heart at the beginning, your heart said, no, it was detesting it. So you weighing your options now, because if I come in the open and I say, this is wrong, if I come out in the open and I say it's wrong, then my chances to be with the organization will be very, very less. They will sideline me, or they won't respect me, they won't give me the type of respect that I am used to. So now what do I do? Where's my loyalty? Is it with Islam or is it with the Jamaat, you see? So this test of loyalty is going to come all the time, all the time. Any time and all the time. You know, I was reading one incident. Al-Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullah says, there was one Qureshi Buzurg. Very great young Qureshi Buzurg. But he had some type of a skin eczema. Whole body full of skin eczema. And sometimes people have it bad. One person came to me to see me. So he came and he had to take one sheet or something and place it under him. And then he sat. Because he sat for an hour, and that whole sheet was filled with all the scales of that eczema. So some people have it really bad. So this Buzurg was like that. He had that skin eczema, and that was just scaling. Now, to look at that and to watch that is not an easy thing. But in the mirror is a Buzurg, he's got a lot of following as well. He's young, and he was just turning away from marriage. So, but he felt to himself that I've got this skin eczema, and any woman will detest getting married to a person like me. So why must I make the life of another woman miserable? Another person, why must I make her life miserable? Unfortunately, people usually think like that in the past. If they get into a marriage, then I mustn't make that marriage miserable for the next person. Now, how we look at it, no, I must secure this marriage. The miseries and all, we'll see about it later on. If there's any misery that is forthcoming, then we'll think about it afterwards. But now, I just need to get into the marriage. And in the past, how they used to think, you see, I'm going to cause a problem, so let me not get into this thing here. So anyway, one day, after some time, he says, no, I'm young, and the urge for marriage is getting more severe in me. The urge to be in nikah is becoming more and more severe into me. Now, he expressed it to his murids and his friends, okay, now I need to get married. But I've got this thing here. So one murid, he says, no, I volunteer to get this accomplished. He says, no, condition is you, if you're offering your daughter to me in marriage, then you must tell her exactly how I appear, with all the skin eczema, all the problems that I have. Then only will I get into this marriage, otherwise I'll make sabr. If you don't tell her, I don't want to betray her or mislead her, I don't want to cheat this woman here. She mustn't be deceived in thinking I'm a very young person and a handsome person, and thereafter when she comes into my marriage, then she sees this, then she'll feel deceived, she'll feel misled. She says, alright, no, I'll go and explain that to him. So he went and explained to his daughter. Laura said, no, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I am prepared to give my life and to sacrifice for this Buzurg, this saintly person. Whatever it is, I'm prepared to do it. So the girl was also so pious and so righteous. She says, no, I'm prepared for this. Muli Ahmad is listening very attentively. Perhaps you may be thinking of something article I got for the woman's site. Anyway, once it was cleared that no, I've got that she's willing, and she knows exactly how I stand, the nikah was done. Now this Qurayshi Buzurg was also a sahib a karamat. These two, some Allah Pak had given some karamat, some miracles, etc. Allah Pak had given him the power to do some things. So in the quiet, he went and cried to Allah Ta'ala that this woman that has come into my marriage, then she took so much. She took so much, that she did so much for me, that in spite of my skin eczema and all that, she is prepared to come into my marriage. So Allah Ta'ala, when I am in seclusion with this woman, then let me be absolutely normal and handsome. Let me, just the times that I'm in seclusion with her, that I must appear absolutely normal, handsome, good looking. And then after that, after the time of seclusion is over, I'm away from her, in my work, whatever else, my moods, etc., then I can be restored to my original condition. Just the times that I'm with her, so that it's like in lieu and as a token of appreciation for what she has done. So his dua was answered. Now they got into the nikah and the time for seclusion. Now this woman sees her, handsome, young, good skin, fair, complexion is very nice, excellent. So she said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm your husband, I'm that Qurayshi person." I said, no, that Qurayshi person had a skin eczema. I said, "No, I am that very person that has got the skin eczema. But I made this dua, and Allah Ta'ala answered my dua. As a result, when I am in seclusion with you, then I appear absolutely normal, clear-skinned, handsome-looking, and very good-looking. Then when I'm away from you, then I'll be restored to my original self." So she says, "You see, I have got married to you for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, so that I could be of khidmat to you. And I could earn the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala through that way. Now, you have made this dua here. When you have made this dua, then I am deprived of that opportunity of making your khidmat, of being patient of your condition. So the better thing is then, if you want to keep me in marriage, then remain in your original self. Otherwise, divorce me with respect." You see, that loyalty of love, that's what love is. We think that loyalty is a simple thing. No, bhai. Loyalty is something different. Loyalty is something different. When you are loyal to someone, then everything you are looking at it. Is it in keeping with loyalty or not? Is it keeping with loyalty or not? So see this woman here. This woman is teaching us things. Her sincerity, her level of sincerity is so high. That you come in your original form, with all the skin eczema, I will tolerate, I will endure, I will do your service, I will do your khidmat, only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will do it, so that I may also earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we had to reverse the whole dua, that old dua that he made, Allah Ta'ala turned me back to my original condition. So, now this is the real reason why Allah Ta'ala has created this whole examination of temptation. You see, you got this temptation. There will be temptation on the one end, and there will be the love of Allah Ta'ala on the other end. There will be temptation on the one end, and there will be the love of Allah Ta'ala on the other end. See, so where your loyalties lie? What do you prefer? Do you prefer this or you prefer this? You prefer this or this? It's going to come at every level. One level, second level, third level. It's going to be an ongoing thing. It's not going to be stopping at any moment. Any time you're not going to stop. Sometimes in your business it's going to come. Like I showed you just now in the business, it will come. Sometime in your marriage it will come. Sometime it's in your child. And my child says, "No, Abba, you need to have a television, you know. And everybody's got television. Why don't you have a television?" So your child is very dear to you. You do everything. All sacrifices are made for the child. فَخَشِينَا أَن يُرْحِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. Allah Pak also say, the child that Khizr al-Islam had killed, the parents were pious, but this child was decreed for him to be irreligious, and he would have influenced his parents into irreligiousness. Because of his irreligiousness, he would have influenced his parents. See, so the attachment of the child is so great that sometimes you can lose yourself because of the attachment of your child. No, do this, take me here, don't do this. So now, on the one side, you're looking at the attachment of your child. I got my child on the one end. On the other end, I got the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do I marry the both? Am I going to prefer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or what the child has to say? Am I going to prefer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or what the wife has to say? It comes to a marriage situation, right? And the wife says, no, have it at the hall and have it with all the frills and the drills and the thrills, right? Now the wife is saying something, the child is saying, do it. And the father knows in the back of his mind, it's not the right thing. It's not the right thing. It's not keeping with the loyalty of Allah Ta'ala. It's not keeping in that level. It's not fulfilling that criteria. What do I do? So Allah Ta'ala has created this temptation within us. This temptation of world. This temptation of the goodies of this life. So Allah Ta'ala wants to see that when you are in this type of a confrontation, you're confronted with this both, with a conflict, where your loyalties will lie, which side you're going to turn, this way or this way, this way or this way. So this trial is going to come all the time in your youth. It's going to come in your middle age, it's going to come in your advanced age, all the time it's going to come. Allah Ta'ala grant us that tawfiq. Now, there are a lot of stories, but time is short, but there are a lot of stories to elucidate and to explain the same thing. But if we just put our mind, this is why Allah Pak has created, that He wants to see where your loyalties lie. And as I explained, today, unfortunately, there's a third group. First group, whose loyalties are straight with Allah Ta'ala. Second group, loyalties are with their nafs. And the third group is rocking in between. They're trying to legitimize, they're trying to make halal, somehow forge it and make it seem to be permissible. We can just join up there, see. Now that's a very dangerous role, because you can see that it's not right. Your heart is rejecting it. Your heart is detesting it. But then you have a liking for the organization, for the group, for your family, for your wife. Now somehow to legitimize it and join up. Now that's a difficult one, very, very difficult one. Because you're thinking, if I'm going to say no, then my family is going to just turn the face away, you know, when I need some attention from her in the day or in the night sometimes. And then, say, yeah, you're very, very, very pious now, carry on your way. Very pious, everything is haram for you, everything. So she had to just mention one, two statements and then you water down, finish kalas. Hey, now, if I don't go listen to her, then the whole night will be just tossing around from one end to the other end. No attention I will receive. I'm trying to talk to her. She said, yeah, you're very pious, no? Carry on, let's see how pious you are. For my things, yeah, you become very pious. So let's see how pious you are, no? She said, all right, now, hey, let's something in between now. So this in-between thing, that's a dangerous one. Very, very, very dangerous. Where you know it's not right. You know it's not right. And then this type of situations are coming on your way. And where are you going to, how are you going to draw the line? Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare.